From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this news update. The legislature has been ignoring an Alaska law that says the session should end within 90 days. So a lawmaker has proposed putting the limit in the Alaska Constitution. That's one of several proposals released today ahead of the legislative session. Anchorage Democratic Representative Matt Klayman has proposed the 90-day session amendment to the Constitution in previous sessions. He noted that the legislature has repeatedly gone past the limit since voters passed a law setting the session length. The Constitution allows sessions of up to 121 days.
The legislature has really grown to ignore that 90-day limit, and the public is frustrated with how long we've been in Juneau and doesn't understand why we can't follow that requirement.
It's one of five amendments to the Constitution in the first batch of legislation ahead of the session. Another would put permanent fund dividends in the state constitution. The batch of legislation also included a bill that would change the definition of first-degree sex assault to cover cases like that of 34-year-old Anchorage resident Justin Schneider. He served just under 1 year of house arrest after committing a sex act. This prompted a public outcry that contributed to the judge losing his retention election. Another bill would require many Medicaid recipients to work to receive health coverage. The second set of pre-filed legislation will be released on Friday. And a person reportedly fell through the ice near the Mendenhall Glacier yesterday afternoon, but was able to walk away thanks to the help of a bystander. In a Facebook post, Capital City Fire and Rescue wrote that the person was apparently biking on the ice near the face of the glacier when they fell through. Luckily for them, the bystander who was passing by acted quickly, using a throw rope to pull them out of the water. Capital City Fire and Rescue responded, and the person did not need to go to the hospital. The post says a dog also fell through the ice on Mendenhall Lake 3 days prior. Despite low temperatures this week, Capital City Fire and Rescue warns that the ice thickness on lakes is not consistent. And anyone walking on or near ice should use extreme caution and stay away from open or water-covered areas. Being prepared, like the bystander in this instance, and not traveling alone across ice can also help avoid tragedy. And Alaska is one of the few places with the legal sea otter fur trade. The species is listed as endangered in some areas, but in Southeast Alaska, they're booming. As Angela Denning reports for Coast Alaska's Alaska Made series, there are tight restrictions on who can work with the prized pelts.
Sea otter is the densest fur in the world, with upwards of 1 million hairs per square inch. Downy hairs that can take to the air when cut.
Sorry, I got some sea otter hair in my throat.
That's Will Ware. He's hunched over a sewing machine in his living room. His sleeves are rolled up, and he's meticulously sewing a pair of sealskin mittens. They have 3 inches of sea otter fur at the top.
Some of the harder parts is tucking the fur in while you're sewing.
Ware's been hunting sea otters for about 8 years, often with his sons. The fur is tanned in the nearby village of Cake. He tries to use every inch. The pelts can run up to $200 each.
They're expensive. They're expensive to get tanned. If you're buying the hides, they're expensive to buy.
Ware is Klinket from the Duck Dainton clan. There's no harvest limit for Alaska natives. He bags about 30 to 40 sea otters per year to make a variety of items like hats, mittens, scarves, and teddy bears. It's not a huge moneymaker. He's got a full-time job. But he also owns a gallery in Petersburg and sells his work online.
Our people, our clan, were known for hundreds and hundreds of years as the harvesters of sea otter.
About 90% of the world's sea otters live in Alaska. They were nearly wiped out in the early 20th century by the fur trade. In the 1960s, about 400 animals were brought from the Aleutians to repopulate this region. And it worked. Now fishermen often complain there are too many. The sea otters eat up the shellfish, crab, and sea urchins that fishermen catch commercially. Sea otters can weigh 100 pounds and eat a quarter of their body weight a day. Ware says they're tough, smart, and...
they're absolutely adorable when you see them. You know, they're cute. They just happen to carry and wrap themselves up in the best fur in the world.
But the modern sea otter trade is slow going. Across town, there's a workshop happening to teach people how to sew the hides by hand. Half a dozen students sit around a table covered in brown sea otter pelts.
I'm just tacking it.
Yeah, and then you come up through here.
Marcus Goh is the instructor brought to town by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute in Juneau. He's helping a student smear a thin layer of glue over a seam.
Some things turn out better when they're sewn by hand, like these pillbox hats. I always sew them by hand.
Federal regulations prevent mass production of sea otters. One must be at least a quarter of Alaska Native to possess tanned, unmodified skins. Sea otter products cannot be produced by people working together. It has to be done by individual craftsmen. Classes like these are the exception. But jumping through regulatory hoops is worth it for Goh. He hunts up to 40 sea otters a year and says it's not about profit, it's about tradition.
When I sew and work with my sea otter fur, or seal fur, or any marine mammal fur, I feel a stronger connection towards my ancestors, and I'm grateful for the opportunity that I have to let other people have part of that connection too.
If this class is any indication, Alaska Natives will continue the craft, and there should be plenty of sea otters to provide the materials. The population in Southeast Alaska is growing steadily. 8 years ago, a survey counted about 25,000 animals. Scientists estimate a growth rate that could put the current population over 40,000. But the data is old, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is gearing up for an updated survey in the next year. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And in other news, state fishery officials have closed commercial and sport fishing for Chinook salmon in Northern Cook Inlet for 2019. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game on Monday also announced restrictions for subsistence fishing of Chinooks, also known as king salmon. The department is restricting fishing to conserve weak stocks. Many streams have failed to see sufficient salmon returns to meet department goals. 2018 was the second warmest year for Bethel in nearly 100 years of record keeping. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger talked with Alaska climate scientist Rick Toman about what that means for Bethel.
Bethel is no stranger to a warming climate, especially in the last 5 years. That's according to Rick Toman, a climate scientist in Alaska.
The big story here, so this is the fifth year in a row with the average temperature for the calendar year above freezing at Bethel. And there's never been a five-year period with the average temperature above freezing in the past century until now.
Those changes are hitting home in a lot of ways. Bethel's signature sled dog race, the Kuskokwim 300, had to redo its traditional route at the last minute last year. And the Kuskokwim River is taking longer to freeze, so more residents in remote Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta communities have to travel by air instead. And that is expensive.
You know, it's not frozen up enough for safe travel, but it's not really good for boating yet anymore. Is that length of time, that transition season, is that increasing over time in these warmer years? I think that's an underappreciated aspect of this warming in Southwest Alaska.
And then, of course, the fragile tundra is eroding faster. That is forcing many villages to consider relocation as the impacts hit closer to home. For instance, it could take a few big storms to wash Napakiak School out into the river. And the coastal village of Newtok is gearing up to build more infrastructure at its new site in the spring. And here are some more long-term consequences.
You know, it's going to mean the increasing greening of the tundra with shrubs growing taller, over, you know, very long term, you know, couple to three generations. Trees will continue to spread westward, traditional, you know, for instance, berry picking areas. And I think this is already, well, I've read this has already been reported that areas that were good burying in the past are now getting overgrown with shrubs.
Even though temperatures may fluctuate month to month, Talman reiterates that for Bethel and many other Alaska communities, this trend of warmer winters is not going away. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Bethel.
And state highway officials are seeking $1.5 million for a repair of a busy Anchorage overpass. Anchorage television station KTUU reports that the final cost for repair of the Seward Highway overpass at Tudor Road could be higher or lower. A dump truck with a raised bed hit the overpass January 3rd, damaging a girder. Alaska Department of Transportation spokeswoman Shannon McCarthy says crews have worked on repairs since the crash. The damage and repairs continue to cause lane closures. And Alaskans again posted top results on Sunday at the U.S. National Cross Country Ski Championships in Vermont. David Norris, who grew up in Fairbanks and skis for the Alaska Pacific University program in Anchorage, won the men's 30-kilometer skate technique. You're listening to KTOO. For more news and information, visit our website. That's ktoo.org.